many wanted to rain down this morning. Amen. How many believe he's here?
Amen.
He's here because I brought him here and you brought him here.
Right.
Amen. And he promised that where two or three are gathered that he would be in the midst. So we believe that.
That's right.
We go ahead and let the musicians go to their seats. I don't want to prolong the service here. The last two or three times I've helped you kind of long, so I'm going to try not to do that today. But really, it's not my control anyway.
Right.
So, and we don't want it to be in control of the man behind the pulpit.
Right.
But I have watched, I've seen it over the years. Brother Branham is right. You know, unless the Lord's really moving, long about 45 minutes into the sermon, people start getting tired. And so I don't want to tromp over that. But certainly if the Lord's moving, then he could control that.
Yeah, that's right.
Blessing. So we certainly want to give him all the liberty this morning that he deserves. And you know what? He deserves everything we can give him this morning.
That's right.
So we certainly want to turn to the words. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Good to have Brother Mike and Sister Becky with us. It's always enjoy his singing. You ever notice there's people that have an anointing on their singing, and Brother Mike does. He has an anointing on his singing there that God has gifted him to bless the bride of Christ with. So we certainly enjoy that. We'd open our Bibles, Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. As Brother Daniel mentioned, we want to pray for the people there in Texas. And,
yes.
You know, sometimes when you're far removed from it, you don't know what it's like. You know, you kind of don't think about it. But think about it. You know what Brother Branham had to experience with his daughter with her crossed eyes. And God, he had to suffer that so that when he would go out on the field and he'd pray for all those children, all the people had cross eyes, and he could be touched by the feeling of their infirmity because of
that.
And so one way that would help you pray for people like those in Texas is to stop and consider that it's your house that's under 20 feet.
That's right.
And so it's your livelihood that's going to be disrupted for who knows how long. And so we certainly want to remember those people. I believe that God wants people, even if, you know, the scripture says he reigns on the just and the unjust. And I believe God wants even the unjust people to have a happy life here on this earth and be blessed on this earth, even if they're lost when it's over with, right? Because he reigns. And so no matter whether they're believers, Christians or not, I ask God to help those people. And as Brother Daniel said, maybe through all that, that when it's all over and done with, they don't go back to their normal way of living, but they find God in this, right? Because sometimes it takes tragedies to get a person to look up. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 says, Enoch, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Again, speaking of Enoch, and she has it on the screen here. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. First, you have to believe that God exists, that he is. And then you also have to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you really believe that he exists, and you really believe that he rewards those that seek him, I imagine you'd probably seek him. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we're here at this moment in time, and Lord, as we've said many times, the time before us here in this service, after it's over with, we'll never be able to come back and regain that time. And so we're just asking God this morning, that in the liberty that we have in your presence, Lord, that we'd be able to utilize this time to thy glory, and that everything that you would want said and done and received, and everything that would lodge down in our heart, Lord, that when it's over with this morning, that we go away this morning full of the things that you would have for us, full of the seed of God. And so we ask God that you would just take control of this service and each person, and we just ask God that everything that's hindering would be driven back, Lord, and let the word come forth this morning and drive away doubts and unbelief, and allow your people, Lord, to sit in your presence, because as we sung a little while ago, it's in your presence. That's where we're strong, and that's where we belong.
Yes,
we ask God that you grant to us that this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So as you probably know, we're going to talk about Enoch this morning. But I guess what I'd like to say is, as we're talking about Enoch, really what I want to do is I want you to understand just how significant the type that Enoch was to the bride of Christ in this day. We know that in the scriptures, God has people that lived out different things in their life, and those things that they lived out were types and shadows for ages to come and for people to come. And then here at the end time, when God would allow us by the grace of God and by the opening of the seven seals, that we would be able to, God would come down and actually just peel back the pages of the Bible and peel back the surface layers that only the world gets to see the surface. And he peels that back to many layers deep and allows us to see what he's really saying there. We begin to see the Bible as a love letter to the bride of Christ. So we can read between the lines, and we hear it saying things that the rest of the people don't hear. Remember, like he said, that man in that book called me a buzzard. Well, then, praise God, that man in the same book called me an eagle.
Right?
Because we hear it saying things. And I've had people say, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, if you're looking for just surface layer, it won't say that. But if you look at what it's saying, you begin to hear deeper things. And so God allows us to see and hear things deeper. And so when we are able, through the opening of the seals and after he peels these layers back, we're able to go back and see these people's lives, and we realize that they're telling us very precious things. And all of these things, as they come forth and we see them, they are to give us rapturing faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word.
Right.
And so no matter how many layers, you can read a scripture and it can have infinite numbers of layers. It can speak to you over and over and over and over throughout the course of your life, because it's a living word. And every time that another layer is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, that gives us faith. Amen? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word.
Yes.
It gives us stability. And I'll go ahead and say it this way too. Every time we see something greater in the depth of the word, that allows us, when we step on that new position, that new land, it allows us to see something greater. And so every time he shows us something else out of the scriptures, it allows us to have even a greater depth of hearing.
That's right.
A greater depth of hearing to hear even more. And it's like the promised land. When you step up on a promise, then you take another mountain. Now you get to see more.
Yeah.
See, and it's that light Brother Brown talked about, the guy carrying. You have to take a step. If you want to see more, walk in what you do see.
That's right.
So that's the way this works. And so we look back in the life of Enoch, and Enoch is one of these people that we can look at. Now, the scripture doesn't say a whole lot about Enoch. We read most of what the scripture says there in Genesis and the book of Hebrews. And then in the book of Jude, it speaks how that Enoch saw the coming of the Lord, and he saw the judgment that was going to be passed out upon the wicked. So it talks about that. But the scripture said that Enoch lived 365 years. And I always, every time I read that, I think about the fact that we have 365 days in a year.
Right.
And so Enoch walked with God for 365 years, and then at the end of his 365 years, if you read how Brother Branham laid it out, Enoch decided one day, all of a sudden, on one particular day, after walking with God all this time, on this particular day, he took a different route. He took a different direction. And so we kind of want to talk about that this morning. And before we do, I had a quote I wanted to read. I have several this morning I want to read, and I hope that's okay. Brother Branham says, does God ever change his mind? He says, but to me, I believe that the word of God is right, and I don't believe it's of any private interpretation. I believe it's just what it says, and that's the truth. And that's the way I take it, just on the basics of the word being the word of God. And now I haven't got faith enough maybe to make it all act, but certainly I certainly wouldn't want to stand in the way of someone who did have faith enough to make it act. Like, for instance, Enoch. He had enough faith that he didn't have to die. He just took an afternoon stroll. He got tired here on the earth and just walked up into heaven. And I'd certainly like to have faith like that, wouldn't you? I sure would too. He said, but I hope that we do get that faith someday. And here's what I wanted you to catch from all this quote right here. He says, I hope that we do get that faith someday as we grow on into Him. As we grow on into Him. Because that's what you're doing. As you feed on the Word and you walk with God, you're growing on into Christ. Because remember, He put in the church the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting till we grow up into the full measure of the stature of Christ so that she and He are the same.
Yeah.
Right? One and the same.
Right.
And so we're growing up. That's what He's doing. He's put these things
right.
here and we're growing.
Right. Right.
And that's where we're headed, to the place where God looks down and says, she's right there. She is Him. And we know that that's in the land now. That's what this message has
right.
brought.
Yes, sir.
So as we grow up into Him, we're growing into this place where we have faith like Enoch had to be translated. And that's what He's telling us there. So the scripture says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God had translated him. And I kind of look at it this way, that Enoch was a special person. Now, he wasn't a special person in himself, but I'll say it this way, God dealt with him in a special way. And the reason why I say that is because we know the scriptures very clearly declare to us that, you know, it's appointed for a man to die. And then afterwards the judgment. And then so even Moses, you know, and Elijah and all the different things. And so when you see a place in the scriptures where God deals with them such a way that they don't have to see death, right?
Yeah.
Then that's a special case. That's a special case. And so God took Elijah by the whirlwind and He allowed Enoch to walk with God and be translated. God did that. This was something He wanted to do. And this is something He wanted to declare. And so when you go back and you look at the fact that Enoch was translated, you find out that God did that for a purpose. And as we get to in just a little bit, it's obviously for you and I in this end time. So I look at him as being a special person in the fact that God dealt with him in a special way because he did not have to see death. And the scripture said that he was translated. We read it. He was translated that he should not see death.
Right.
Now, so I want to try and put it this way so that you can catch what I'm thinking on this. And is that God said, I don't want him to see death. And in order to keep him from seeing death, I have to translate him. Because if I leave him in this body, if I leave him in this world, in this dimension, he's going to see death.
Right.
So I have to take him from that so that he doesn't experience it.
Yeah.
But I want to go ahead and say it maybe a little bit ahead of time, but really what it is God is saying, I don't want him to see judgment.
Yeah.
I do not want him to see judgment, and so I'm going to remove him from this life, so that he doesn't see judgment. Now remember, Brother Rem said, he was quoting the scripture, said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, that's present tense, not will have or used to have, but hath everlasting life, and shall not come to condemnation, but is, present tense, is passed from death to life.
Yeah.
And so, Brother Rem, when he's commenting on that, he says, he shall not come to condemnation, he said, judgment. He shall not come to judgment. Well, now we know each Christian, we judge ourselves every day by the Word. And if we judge ourselves here by the Word, we won't be judged, right?
Right.
We might stand before the judgment seat of Christ where He meets out the different things that belong to us as our rewards. But we don't come to condemnation. We don't come to judgment. And so this is what's happening to Enoch. That he might not come to judgment, God has to take him out of the realm that's judged. Mm-hmm. Right? So he was translated. All because that's something God wanted to do.
Right.
Now the scripture said before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And we know that we read in the scriptures there that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's very easily understood because it's all right there. We read it. That Enoch had faith. that Enoch pleased God because he had faith. Because
yeah.
without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he had such a faith and such a walk with God, and it pleased God in such a way, his whole life was a testimony that God translated him. So I look at it from this standpoint, that God had his hand upon Enoch's life in such a way that God said, I want to tell this generation that Enoch is living in, I want to tell them something. I want to show them that they too could be saved. They too could be blessed. They too could have the blessings of God in their life. And I'm going to prove it to them because I got this guy standing here that's going to be a testimony. That he's going to have a testimony while he's still here, because the scripture said before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So the hand of God had moved in his life in such a way that people could look at him and know that God was pleased with him.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't just that he said it, but God testified to Enoch's life in the presence of that generation. God testified that he pleased God. So there was a supernatural element there that was present in Enoch's life for that testimony to go forth that he pleased God. And so Brother Branham says here, and I'm going to read, like I said, several quotes. He says here that Enoch knew that he was a type. Enoch was a prophet. This is, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He says, Enoch was a prophet, and Enoch knew that he was a type. And he knew that before the floods came, now floods was judgment, right?
Right.
He knew before the floods came that he had to give an example. So one afternoon, it was becoming to him to take a walk. It was becoming that he would take a walk with God, and somehow on that day he changed his path, and instead of going around the side of the hill, he took the King's Highway, and he just kept walking, and then and they found him not because he was not. He had been walking up the King's Highway, and Brother Branham said, oh God, let me be like Enoch. When the hour comes that I must take the path, let me find the King's Highway. Right? So you find out that Enoch walked with God all this time, but when it came the right time, when it was the right appropriate time, and I'll say it this way now, and it maybe makes more sense later, after Enoch had finished building his testimony, and God said, okay, I'm done with you here, then he took a different walk.
Yeah.
He took a different route, and this route that he took, because it was now time, he took a different route, and that route was the King's Highway, and that's the route that translated him. So there's this element there. It's not just on that particular day. There's an element here to realize that the way Enoch translated wasn't that he was just sitting around one day and he vanished.
Right.
The way Enoch was translated was that he walked with God daily.
Right.
So he was walking. We'll read it later on. Brother Branham
right.
said God that Enoch needed a ladder, but God provided him a highway. Now highways. A ladder straight up, right?
Yeah.
You can go up quickly. But a highway is a gradual slope,
yeah,
taking him up.
Yeah.
So you got to walk it. And he explains this. So
That's good.
Enoch walked. He didn't climb a ladder. And Brother Branham made this statement in there. I forget how he said it, but we'll read it. He says that he didn't get tired. He just walked.
Yeah.
It wasn't a tiresome thing. Like it would be if you go up a ladder. You go straight up a ladder, you get tired after a while.
Right.
But you see, if you're going up a highway that's got a gradual slope that takes you up the highway of God, you don't get tired. You're just walking with God.
Yeah.
So there's a place where Brother Graham said, when the rapture time comes, he said, it'll be easy for them because they believe in such. So sometimes we think, oh, this rapture's going to be such a hard thing. But according to this, it's not if we're just walking with God.
Right.
So, Enoch was a type of this age. Now, I don't have the quote here, but you can find it. Brother Branham talks about it. He says, and the scriptures point this out too, Enoch was the seventh from Adam.
Right.
And Jesus Christ was the last Adam. So you know how the Adam of the Old Testament, we had Adam of the New Testament, and Jesus Christ was the last Adam. And so Enoch was seven generations from Adam. And when you look seven generations from the last Adam, you're talking about seven church ages. So the seventh church age is Laodicea.
Yeah.
And so Enoch was a type of a people and an age and something that was going to take place in Laodicea. And so, and in that hour, so you look back and you say, Enoch had an age that was like Laodicea.
Right.
Right? And we know that his walk with God was just before the flood. Remember, he's not going to seek judgment. He's not going to see the flood. And Brother Branham comes along and says, look, Noah is a type of the Jews that are carried over tribulation. Carried over in the tribulation. He said, but Enoch is a type of the bride who's raptured before tribulation. Now let me say it this way. The bride, Enoch is a type of the bride who was raptured before judgment, because the flood was judgment.
Yeah.
Right? So just before the judgment, Enoch was walking in an hour, and the scripture said that the world was pretty wicked. Said that the man's heart was evil continually. That man had got to such a low estate, fell so far from the things of God, that God said, I have to destroy it. And you know, Brother Ram says, well, God doesn't destroy man. Man destroys himself. But you realize in the wisdom of God, he knows how it's all going to work. And man could create an instrument that destroys himself, and it would be the judgment of God doing it. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be God shooting a lightning bolt down. He can just turn people over and let them go do the choices of their own heart, like it reads in Romans chapter 1. They just go after what's in their own heart to do, and judgment falls upon them by what they've done to themselves, and it's the judgment of God. Why? Because they've turned their back from the Word of God.
Amen.
And so that hour that Enoch was walking with God was the most wicked hour probably we've had on the earth yet. I don't know. Look out there right now. It looks kind of like the same to me. And that's the parallel I want to show you here. Is that in that hour, the scriptures absolutely, emphatically declared that man's heart was evil continually. And that's kind of what I think now, pretty much out here in the world now. It may not quite be there, but it's pretty close. I don't see how I can go much further. And they had come to such a place that they were so filthy, so degraded, so ruined that God said, I just have to wipe it off and start fresh.
Yeah.
Because there's a concept you realize here that the original seed is what's right. And anytime you hybrid that and you mix it with something else, it's no longer right. And death is in it. And once you do that, you can't get back. And when you take the original Word of God and you pervert it and you pervert it and you pervert it, and at some point, every time you pervert it, a little bit of the redeeming quality, the power of the Word is being lost, because now you're making it a different word. It's no longer the original Word. The atonement that's there is no longer there, because you keep watering it down, till now you got a belief system that there's nothing in there that delivers people. No power of God to deliver whatsoever, because why? They've watered the Word down.
That's right.
And the Word was the bleeding Word. So they've just watered down the blood to where it's more man, water, scriptures and water, is man. It's more man in it than it is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So they've watered it down, see? So whenever you take the Word and you hybrid it, and it gets so crossbred and so interbred and so stupid, if you want to say it that way, because that's what happens, you're just weakening, and there's no more purity, and it gets finally to the place where God says, I can't even use it anymore. I can't even do anything in there anymore.
Yeah.
I just have to wipe it off. Right?
Yeah.
Now, man in the New Testament done the same thing. They took the Word of God and they hybrid, and finally get to the place where God says to John, I can't work down there no more.
Right.
In the church ages, I can't work down there no more. Come up here.
Right.
And that's what happened. To the place, because people still want to think they can get saved out there in the denominations. But God can't work out there no more, because they have perverted the gospel so far that he can't even do anything anymore. So now he's got to do something different.
Right.
What's he got to do? He's got to pronounce judgment upon that and start afresh.
Right.
If you want to look at it from that way. So here is Enoch. He's living in this hour where everything is filth. They have intermingled. They have gotten so corrupted in the physical. And you know, Brother Branham tells us that in that age, it was more scientific age, more advanced than we are now. And I'm going to tell you something for those who are scoffers of the message. Brother Branham is not the only person that says that. There is scientific research and discoveries. There's evidence out there that they say that there was a civilization before the flood that was more advanced than what we have now. They say it. So if you just want to gripe, well, you'll gripe with them about it, see? But you see, it was an advanced civilization. So I'm going to say it like this. They had cell phones. They had social media. Right? They had the filth that you see on everywhere then. They had all the gadgetry and all the things to distract people's attention. They had everything because Satan had advanced so far. You understand what I'm saying? And that was the hour that Enoch was in. That was the hour, because it was so bad, God said, I've got to absolutely bring judgment on it, but I, at the end time, I'm going to have to do the same thing, and I want my people at the end to know that they can be raptured. Yeah. That in that hour, they can walk with me like Enoch walked. So I'm going to come back here, and I've got my hand on the life of one man, a seventh from Adam, because it's going to be the seventh generation from the last Adam. I put my hand on him, and he's going to walk in such a way with me in such a corrupt hour, but he's still going to walk with me, and he's going to put forth a testimony that's going to last.
Yeah.
That's what God did with Enoch. A testimony in the midst of that generation. And you know, why? Because when that generation raises up in the judgment, and they say, God didn't give me an opportunity. All he has to do is turn and point to Enoch and say, Enoch, come here. What did you do? When all the world was going corrupt and everybody was looking at all kinds of filth on their social media gadgets or whatever, and they were gossiping and all worried about, what were you doing at that time, Enoch? You see what I'm saying? Jesus said, whenever he was standing before the generation of his day, he said to them, the queen of the south, Queen of Sheba, will rise with this generation and condemn it. Because she went to hear the wisdom of Solomon, had a 3 month travel, 90-day travel across that desert with all the riches she wanted to come and give to it if it was real, and risking her life because of all the bandits that were on the desert and all that. And she went through all that trouble sitting on the back of a camel out in the hot desert that she might come and see if it's God or not. And if it was God, she brought plenty to bless it. She wanted to put everything she could in there. And I forget what the number was, but it was billions, equivalent dollars were today, billions that she crossed that desert with. Okay? And Jesus said to that generation, she will rise with this generation and condemn it, because she did those things just with Solomon. And now a greater than Solomon is here, and you won't even come across the street to listen to him.
Yeah.
You see? And so he said, whenever you stand there on judgment day and you try to say, well, we didn't know, we didn't have opportunity, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, he's going to turn and say, come here, Queen of the South, tell your testimony.
Right.
So when that Queen of the South was coming across that desert, what was she doing? She was building a testimony. She was building a testimony in time that in eternity would ring out and God would judge according to that testimony. Her walk that she was walking during that hour was going to be set in stone such that even in eternity it rings out and judgment would be set because of what she did. Now think about it. She could have decided something different. She could have just passed it off and said, well, I don't know if I believe all those reports coming out of Jerusalem or not. I don't know if it's really God or not. She could have went a different route. But no, she chose to check it out, and she chose to follow after it and see if it's right. She chose to put forth great effort and even endanger herself that she might see if it's God. And she made sure that if it was, she was going to bless it, and she did bless it. And she walked out this testimony, lived out this testimony, and Jesus said, guess what? She'll rise, and she'll condemn this generation. Enoch could rise if he was dead, but you understand, Enoch could stand there, and that generation that was there with him, when they start making excuses, all God's got to do is say, come here, Enoch, you know, tell your testimony. In all reality, it's already told anyway. So you find out that in this wicked hour, Enoch was walking with God. Now, the scripture, just the fact that it says it, means God wanted you to hear it for some reason.
Right.
And you can take one statement, and it could just be mountains of what God wants you to hear just out of one statement.
Yeah.
So when the scripture said Enoch walked with God, it is because nobody else did.
Yeah.
Nobody else in that hour did it. Because God will deal with a man on a certain basis. And if he deals with a man on a certain basis based upon that man's actions, every other man that comes along, he has to deal with them on the same basis. So if a man has faith in God and God has to answer the prayer of that man because of his faith, every other person comes along on that same basis with that same faith, God's got to answer that time too, just like he did the first time, or he was wrong the first time, and he can't do that. He can't be wrong.
Right?
So when it says Enoch walked with God, nobody else did it because that if everybody walked with God, that wouldn't be nothing. You see, the scripture says, he says, if I be lifted up, right, then I'll draw men. So that's why Christians have to be a city set on a hill.
Right.
That's why Christians have to be a different people. That's why they have to live different than the world, so that they can be seen by others.
Yeah.
And you can't be seen if you're down here around the rest of the crowd. So you got to be lifted up. And I'm not being haughty, but I'm saying, it's got to be where people can see that you're different.
Yeah.
If you're just like the rest of the crowd, they're not going to catch nothing.
Right.
So Enoch was different. Enoch was different, and he walked with God, and nobody else did, because if they did, God would have had to say something about it. And if everybody had walked with God, he wouldn't have put it there, because it wouldn't have been nothing.
Yeah.
So God is telling you, this is significant. When he says that Enoch walked with God in that kind of generation, this is a momentous thing we're talking about here. Because there was much opposition in that day that should have kept Enoch from walking with God.
Yeah.
So he walked with God. And eventually, scripture said, was not, because God took him. So we said a while ago, it's a type of the Laodicean age. Not the age itself, but it's of all the people of the age. But it's a type of the hour that in this hour we would have the same corruption, the same kind of things that Enoch had to deal with. That in this hour, God wants to build a testimony. Right? God wants to build a testimony with you, and he wants to judge nations and peoples and so forth by that testimony. And so in this hour where he wants you to walk with God, it's going to be an hour that you got all this filth to deal with. You got all this mixing of seeds and hybridism and GMOs and all this stuff. Right? We've arrived again. And so here we are as a people, and God is saying, I want you to know that in this hour you can still walk with me. Because I done showed it. I done spoke it. I done prophesied it in the scriptures. I'm going to have a people in this seventh age. They're going to walk with me, and everybody's going to know it. Because I'm going to testify of their life, and especially at the end, I'm going to testify they have pleased me, that they have walked by faith. And I've done prophesied it when I had Enoch walk this earth and live the way he did live and raptured him. I've done spoken, and it will be. And it won't be in the sixth church age or the fifth church age, but it'll be in the seventh, because Enoch was the seventh from Adam. So you see, can't get around it any other way. It's now. We're now living in that seventh age where everything's going south on us. But God says you can still walk with me. And it's possible to walk with him. It was possible for Enoch to walk with God in that hour. And he did do it. Now, it's a type of this day. So it was a very wicked generation. And yet, he walked with God, and nobody else did. A more advanced dispensation, or time back then, gadgets and all kinds of scientific things, had to be a type of the Laodicean age. So one of the big things I want to really push this morning in this is choice.
Yes.
The Queen of the South made a choice. And by her choice and acting out upon her choice, she chose how she was going to interact with what God was doing and what the generation was doing in that day. And when everybody else was saying, it's a bunch of nonsense that over there, she said, no, I'm going to go see. And see, and so Enoch made a choice. Enoch had a choice, and it was a choice.
Yeah.
Right? God doesn't take away free moral agent, even though you're predestinated. I hope that doesn't really go over, you know, stretch our minds too much, but we're predestinated and can't miss it, but yet
right.
God gives us free moral agents. Right?
Right.
So Enoch, God had his hand on Enoch for Enoch to do the things he did and live out that type, as we read a while ago. Enoch knew he had to have a pattern. He had to set forth his pattern. And so Enoch really had a lot of the mind of God. I'll maybe talk about that in a minute. But, you know, so Enoch had to live this out, and he made a choice. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk with God, and I'm not going to let this wicked generation affect me like it's affecting everybody else. I'm going to walk with God.
Right.
And so that's what he did. He made a choice. And by that choice, Enoch was building a testimony. Now the scripture said before he was translated, he had this testimony. So there was something working in his life even beforehand that people could see that was a testimony that God was going to judge by.
Yeah.
Right? And so you want to look at it from this standpoint, that when God forms a testimony in somebody's life, that testimony will stand the judgment.
Amen.
And when judgment strikes, it's not taken away. That testimony stands pure and true after the judgment's been met out. Right? So if we stand there as sinners and judgment strikes, we're carried away in the judgment. But if we stand there as redeemed Christians with a testimony of God, after the judgment strikes, that testimony is still standing there true. And so you find out this is what God was doing with Enoch. He was building a testimony that was going to stand for the ages to come, which was a natural type of a spiritual people over here who's building a testimony, who's going to be a testimony after the judgment strikes. They'll still be standing there after it's over with, and after the smoke settles, their testimony still be standing. And so you find out that when God came down and he got a hold of Enoch's life, and Enoch began to walk with God, that Enoch didn't go the way of the world, and he walked with God, and God had him build the Great Pyramid. We know this. Brother Bannon talks about it. And God had him build the Great Pyramid. And in looking at these quotes where Brother Bram's talking about Enoch, I can only say it like he says it. He said, Enoch had this testimony that I never failed God one time. Everything God ever said, I did it. That's what Brother Bram said. Now, you know that every person who's walked the face of the earth besides Jesus was a sinner. So Enoch wasn't perfect. Right? There was places where Enoch was a sinner and missed God. But you got to catch what Brother Branham's saying. At some point, when Enoch might have been born, and I don't know how many years it was before he began to really follow after God, but at some point, he had entered in such a relationship with God, such a walk with God. I'm not trying to be contrary to nothing. I'm just saying he began to walk with God in such a way, he entered into an obedience to the Word, and so he walked with God and never deviated. Because remember when I said here a while back that when you're walking with someone, it means you got to go from here to there, and it takes time to go from here to there. And as two people are walking from here to there, there's all kinds of things that could come along to try and make you separate.
Yeah.
And so you might be thinking, well, we're going to walk through one of those doors back there together. And if you're thinking about different doors, the closer you get, the more you're going to separate, because one guy wants to go through this door, the other guy wants to go through that door. So the walk declares whether or not you're truly in tune with each other or not. That's why it requires a walk. See, that's why it requires a walk to see, can we really walk with the Word? Because in order to be over there, you got to have the character of the Word. So you're tested and tried here to have character, and the walk is to find out, are you really committed to the Word?
Yeah.
So as you're walking along, when the word, you get close to the end and you're about ready for rapture, and you're walking down through there and you're walking in the word, and the word says, I'm not three gods. No, I believe there's three gods. You're not walking with the word no more. So you begin to separate. Now that's back to the hybrid. When it's original, it's the same, but when you begin to separate, separate, or hybrid, you're getting further away from the truth. So that's why it says this. Enoch walked with God. He spent many years walking in the truth of God, and it gave plenty of opportunity to show that this man was committed to stay with God all the way. And he had entered into an obedience where he stayed with the word constantly all his life, 365 days a year. I'll say it that way. He stayed with the word all that time. And that was a testimony. He was building a testimony like that woman of the South, Queen of the South. So people were looking back and said, look, for 50 years that man's not deviated from the word. 100 years he's not deviated from the word. 300 years he's still with that word.
Right.
What? He's in unity with the word. He's walking with it. And that's the key. At no place could Enoch have deviated from the word, because if he had it, it'd been the wrong type.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't work for you and I down here.
Right.
So it had to be that. To follow that typology. So when God says, Enoch, I want you to build a pyramid. Yes, Lord. Where do you want me to start at? I want you to put it right here. It's going to be this big, and it's going to be like this. And I want you to build these channels, these corridors down inside, and you're going to go through here, and it's going to come to this spot, and it's going to be so many feet or so many inches. And then when it gets here, it's going to split off, and it's going to go this way, and the channel's going to go down this way. And you're going to travel up, and then at some point, it's going to open up into a real nice, wide gallery hallway, and there's going to be all kinds of nice, beautiful paintings and stuff on the side. And then at the end of that, we're going to make this room there, and it's going to be the king's chamber. And so Enoch's taking all that, and Enoch's building it. He's building it. Let me just go ahead and say this. I haven't done a major study on it, but I've a little bit in the past. And you find out that this Bible, the story of the Bible, is in that pyramid. They say that from the point in this pyramid where it splits off and starts going down to the bottom and starts going up, and they call that when the law of Moses was delivered. Because, you know, without law, sin wasn't imputed, right? Scripture said. And so from that point, when you start heading upwards, and when it opens up into that wide gallery of beautiful paintings on the wall, they say that if you break it down to a measurement that so many segments mean so many years, that, and they figured out what that was, I don't remember, like so many inches or so many years, that would be from the time of Moses until Christ on Calvary. They said it fits perfect. That's the time it takes to get to Calvary. And then that beautiful gallery was exactly the length of what the New Testament church would be. And at the end of the seven church ages, you know, at the end of the New Testament church, the king comes. So that's why at the end of that thing is the king's gallery, the king's chamber. And they said that the distance from there to the king was exactly the same distance if you went down this other way to a pit. Which is exactly right, because from the number of years from when the law of Moses was given until we come to the place where we're all ushered into the presence of the king, at the same time those that go upward to be with the king, at the same time they meet the king, this other group that goes the other channel meets judgment. And this is all written inside this pyramid. How did Enoch know those things? The Bible hadn't even been written yet. Right? Abraham hadn't even been called yet. How did Enoch build that? You go take a tour of the place and they will tell you Enoch built this. How did he know to do that? Because he walked with God. He built a structure that was going to be a permanent testimony of the grace and the gospel of God and how God's going to redeem his people and how he's going to judge his people. And it was a Bible in itself, said the prophet. And we can see that it is. It's a Bible in itself. And that's the one that he left the capstone off of it. And I can tell you this. The reason why that capstone was off there is because God told him to leave it off. Because God knew. And this is where his obedience come in. Put this gallery here and this room there and this and all that. And when you get to here, don't put that top piece on there.
Yeah.
And he didn't disagree with God. He just left it off there.
Because
if he disagreed with God, it showed he wasn't walking with God. What? A life of obedience will build a testimony.
Yeah.
A life of obedience to God will build a testimony. And that testimony is there for a purpose. It's there for people to see. And it's there that it might stand judgment.
Amen.
And be standing after the judgment. And so this is what God did. God said, the flood is coming. Judgment is coming. I'm going to wipe all these things off. But I want a true testimony to be left in the earth. To show that if a man walks with God and he always obeys God, the testimony that God builds in his life, no matter how much flood hit, no matter how much judgment hits, that testimony will still be standing after the floods are over with, after the judgment's over with. That's a type of a people in this hour who walk with God, and God does something in their life that even after the fire has struck this earth and we're living in eternity, there's a testimony there that the people, that testimony that stands there, the people walk with God, that back in time, they lived out something and built something that testifies throughout eternity. And judgment can't touch it. And furthermore, in the resurrection, God brings up a wicked people, and they go, well, I just didn't have time to go to church. And God says, well, look at my pyramid. Look at my bride, my New Testament wife.
Yeah.
This New Testament church is capped off with a capstone. Look at her. Look what she did. She lived in the same hour you did. And you, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, something. You drive for an hour and 40 minutes to get here. And you pass by houses on this street right here. And I'll not tell you which one it is, but a man in a house on this street, when we first moved in here, he says, all these years of this church been here, and they never come and invited me to church. And you know, we'd go, oh, how pathetic. Nobody ever invited him. By him saying that, he's already testifying that he knows he should be in church. And he's just a few hundred feet from the house of God and won't come and knows he should come and wants to blame somebody else. And when that man rises up in generation, God's going to call for one of you to come forth. And they'll say, he says he couldn't come to the house of God and he was only 200-300 feet away from it. What did you do? And you're going to have to say, well, I drove for an hour and 40 minutes, or I drove for an hour, or I drove for 45 minutes, and I did it for years. Where's that man's testimony going to stand? It won't stand. Just like those people standing before the Queen of Sheba. This is not a game. It's not a game for you and I to live it right. But it's not a game for them either. Because God is setting judgment. Testimonies are being made right now that are going to rise up above all these things and stand there on that day. And God will condemn people for eternity or however long they're going to be, but you understand what I mean. He will condemn them based upon what they did or did not do in their day.
Yeah.
So that brings us back to what did Enoch do? He had plenty of opportunity to be sidetracked. He could have went after all kinds of things to distract him. Filth and tommy rot. Debauchery. What did he do? What did he spend his time doing?
Right.
Where was he at constantly? His mind was on God.
Yeah.
That's where he was at. That's a type for our people over here. And this people over here has to meet that type Every point of it, just one point after another, of people here who could go off and have their mind off in worldly things, but they choose, they make a choice. I'm not going to walk with these things of the world. I'm going to walk with God.
Amen.
And God will do something in their life. He's already doing it. It's a testimony. That was a mountain. That was a pyramid. And now through an end time ministry comes along and says, you know what, this New Testament church, it's not a cube. It's a mountain. It's a pyramid. See the testimony? See where it is? A New Testament church is acting out what Enoch did. They say that there are vertical walls and stuff in there that's so vertically true, they don't even have instrumentation now to measure it exactly as true as it is. Like 1/1000th of a degree. You know what a degree is? 360, a circle divided up in 360. It's just a little bitty, little thing like that. I would say that from 12 to 1 on the hand, there are several degrees. So just one little bitty turn of the hand is a degree. And now divide that up into 1,000 spots and build a wall that plumb. Can you do it? I can't. Neither can the rest of them. And nobody's been able to except Enoch. That small fraction, it's true with that too, but they were talking about its alignment, north and south alignment, being correct. That it's a fraction of a degree. You know what? I worked hard to make sure my house was lined up the way it needed to be. And I look at it from satellite photos and I go, where'd I go wrong? I can't do it. But Enoch did. Why? Because Enoch was not using his own thinking. Enoch was walking with God and God was telling him what to do.
Amen. That's right.
And he never changed the plan. He just stayed with it. And that pyramid went through the flood and is still standing there. Now, there's a lot of imitators. There's a lot of other pyramids that have been built. A lot of them over there. A lot of them in different places around the world. A lot of people come along and they tried to imitate that great pyramid. And those pyramids did not stand the flood. They didn't stand the judgment like that one did. See? Now what's that saying? That there were people then that are going, wow, look at what Enoch's doing. I think I can do that. Problem is, they weren't walking with God.
Right.
So they couldn't do it. And they'd come over and say, I'm going to build my little testimony church. And it didn't stand the judgment.
Yeah.
Why? Because it wasn't done according to the word of God. See what I mean? So you got churches, that's a type. Now you got an age over here, and you got a people that's the bride of Christ, and she's the Enoch of this day, and she's going to stay with the word. And you got all these other churches saying, we're going to do this too. And judgment's coming. And I'm going to ask you a question. You answer it. After the judgment's over, which one's going to be left standing? On that day, when he calls the generations forward to find out who they are, and to mete out judgment to them. Is he going to call the Baptist church and say, come here, Miss Baptist Church? No. They're not going to be there. Because it's a building of man. Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds a pyramid, they labor in vain that build it. So that flood struck that thing. And it stood true, testimony stood true. Listen, that pyramid, what you see now, is not like what it was back then. You'll notice on the pyramid, there's a little section on the top where they still got the smooth stones. They call it casing stones. That pyramid in its original day was smooth all the way down. They come and they've robbed those things. I'm talking about since the flood. They've come and they've taken those and they took them all over the place, all over the world. Little bitty casing stones. Okay? But it stood the judgment. It stood the flood, a testimony there. And if the scriptures even talk about that, and I don't have it with me, but it talks about this testimony And it sounds really strange because it says on the border of Egypt, but in the midst of Egypt. And you find out, well, how could it be on the border of Egypt, but it's in the midst? Because Egypt was divided in two portions. And it was smack dab right in the middle of Egypt, but right on the border of there. So it's true. The script is true. But there's that testimony right there. And after the flood and everything had happened, there it stood. Because it was built right. It was a work of God. And so you find out Enoch kept walking with God. He didn't slow down for anything. He had a testimony that he pleased God. And you know, the scripture said he was not, for God took him. So, I think that, I don't know, you could probably debate this, but I think, that what the scripture said, he was not. They went looking for him. Hey, where's Enoch? And they said, he's not. He's not here anymore because God took him. And remember, his translation wasn't because he was such a good person. It's just because God had meted out this walk for him to be a type so that you over here at the end can take courage and say, in this hour, when we have such a wicked day, we can do like Enoch did. And if we do like Enoch did, our testimony shall stand. No matter what happens in America, what's fixing to unfold, we don't know.
Right.
No matter what it is, our testimony shall stand if we stay with the Word. Our testimony shall stand, and no judgment's going to tear it down. And at some point when God says, you've finished your testimony, little bride, you've done everything I've told you to do, now come on up with me. In one day, whereas right now we get up in the morning and we make a choice to walk with God. I'm going to walk with God today. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. And when they tell dirty jokes, I'm going to turn away from it. I'm not going to listen to that nonsense. They're going to know that I don't stand for that nonsense. I'm going to walk with God. And God's got enough control on your life that as you walk with Him today and you don't listen to filthy jokes and you don't do things you shouldn't do and you stay with righteousness and you follow after pleasing God by faith, that as you walk, He's got enough control in your life that tomorrow when He gets up, that same control He's got on your life to walk with Him, He says, now, today, we're going to walk a different direction. We're going to do something different today. And He's going to walk you right up out of here. Right? He's going to walk you right out. But the key to that is that Enoch walked with God. You have to walk with Him. Choose to walk with Him. God's not going to make you do it. Right? The bride hath made herself ready. He didn't say that. He come down and forced her to put that dress on. She has made herself ready. She made a choice to stand for what's right. And we've got to do that. We ought to stand for things. Because you'll fall. If you don't stand for something, you fall for everything, right? So you've got to stand for what's right. And my Lord deserves every ounce of standing for Him that we can.
Amen.
Every ounce that we can give Him, He deserves it. So we find out there was many personators, many pyramids. They didn't last. Many churches, their testimony will not stand the judgment. Even before the fire falls, you can look out there and say, their testimony is not standing. Because the world has taken them over. Amen. They become so much like the world. Don't ever, Lord, don't ever let that happen to us. Amen. To stay true with His Word. So, now, back to what I said earlier, he was translated, as the scripture said, he was translated that he should not see death. See what I mean? God purposed, I'm going to translate this life. I don't want this kind of life, it's not worthy of death. Right? I want to ask you something. If this kind of life already died on Calvary, does it need to die again? This kind of life, that it not see death, I got to take it. So whose life is it? It's Christ. If you're really Him, He don't have to die no more. Scripture says it. He don't have to die no more. There's your rapture. A person of Jesus Christ. Him. You don't have to die no more. When you're dead in Christ and he's alive in you, you don't have to go to judgment. And no judgment will ever touch you because you're in Christ. There's your key. Be in Christ. But if you're in Christ, he declares himself. If you're in Christ and he's in you, then he has a testimony he wants you to build. He has a walk he wants you to walk. And he wants you to live it where people can see it. There's no such thing as hidden Christianity. Right? It's got to be out in the open for others to see. Oh yeah, that makes you where you're vulnerable but can be persecuted, but that's okay. Enoch wasn't talking. He was persecuted too, I'm sure. So, he was translated that he should not see death because that life that was in him that God was typing out didn't need to die. It already was the life of Christ. So, God testified to it. Brother Branham said in leadership, he said, look at Enoch. He walked with God. It says, then he had a testimony that he pleased God, and God verified it. Brother Branham said, God verified it and said, there's no need of you dying. Just come on home this afternoon. And he went up. Amen. So now I just want to just for a moment talk just briefly, and I probably have already talked about this some, but about Enoch's attitude through all this. What was on his mind. So I'm going to read some quotes here so you can see what Brother Branham said about it. In accepting God's provided way. It said Enoch walked with God, and God told him, Enoch, you're not going to have to die. You want to come home? Question mark. He said, you want to come home? God is saying this. You want to come home? Are you homesick, Enoch? And Enoch said, yeah, Lord, I'm homesick. Now listen, we know, I don't know, maybe Brother Branham, by vision, saw the conversation. Or maybe Brother Branham just in his own gift trying to express it so that we might. But you realize this is God has spoken through this man. And what this man is saying, he's saying it in a way that God wants us to think about what he's saying. God wants us to catch it. So when Brother Branham's standing there, whether God actually said to Enoch, are you homesick? Whether he actually said that or not, the voice of God speaking to us tells us this is what was going on. In other words, he's trying to tell you, are you homesick?
Right.
Are you homesick, Enoch? See what I'm saying? Are you comfortable here anymore? Because if you're comfortable here, there's something wrong. Because if you're comfortable here, you're probably not in the eagle nest when all the stuff being pulled out, right? So he's asking. He says, are you homesick? And he said, yeah, Lord, I'm homesick. And so then he says, have you walked in this pest house down here long enough? So God's asking you, have you walked in this pest house? You know what the pest house is? This right here. Pest house is a place they used to stick old people. They had all kinds of diseases and things like that. And they used to have insane asylums. And Brother Branham said, now just look right out here on the street, right in the church, right down into the pews.
Right.
Insanity. Really?
Right.
Have you listened to the news lately? Right. Insanity. They might as well be sticking a gun to their head for the things they want out there nowadays.
Right.
White people fighting for whites to be called radicals. For white, they call it white privilege, and they're white. And they're calling for the down, you know, and I'm not pushing one way or the other. I think all people, if they're people of God, they're people of God. But insanity, things that just don't make sense, where people out there are saying that you've got to ban the ability for people even to refer to their children as boy or girl. Really? Even though genetics declares which one is which, but they want to just defy that. See, that's the insanity that's taking over. Brother Graham said it was coming.
And here it is.
And here it is. Right. See? Insane. And so, insane asylum, pest house, used to be in there, but now it's, look where it is now. It's everywhere. And this is a pest house.
Right.
Because all of the things that try to set up housekeeping in this, all the diseases and filth and tommy rot right there in the flesh because your flesh didn't get saved. So everything that's trying to take up, all the pests that's trying to live in here, all the evil spirit trying to live in here. And so he says, Enoch, are you tired of living in that pest house? Oh, yeah. I'm tired of living in this pest house. And man, I'm tired of it down here, right? Now, I'm saying all this to say this, to challenge you. Because if you're comfortable down here, and you're happy in your pest house, see, you're not like Enoch just yet. When the scripture said, I think Brother Brown talked about it this way, and I don't have it with me, but I've read the quotes before, and he talked about he just walked with God and walked with God, and all of a sudden he says, God, I'm closer to your house than I am mine. Well, God said, well, just come on right on up here. Now, my point is that he's actually walking with God, and he's not paying attention to the world, and he's walking with God, and all of a sudden he's got so far from worldly things and so much in tune with the Word of God, then he looks back and says, I ain't even comfortable down there more. I don't even want to go back down there no more. I just want to stay with you, Lord.
Yes, that's right.
And you are the Word. I just want to stay with you. So when we think physically, oh, he's closer to heaven than, but I'm talking about by revelation, by what's going through you, what's surging through your experience each day. What is it that motivates you? What's on your mind? What's just the life that's pulsating out of you? Is it a life that wants the next gadget, the next video game, and the next this, and the next television program, and the next movie Hollywood makes, and whatever else the new next fad is? Is that what's pulsating in your heart? Are you constantly saying, I want more of God, and you're seeking Him, and you're saying, I need more of that. I don't want more of the world. God, show me how to get more of you and less of the world. If that's what's in your heart, you're Enoch. You're walking with God. You're desiring more. You want to get away from this thing. God, take me home. Get me out of this pest house. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yes, amen.
This is the move and the spirit that should be upon the bride now. Because that's what it was on Enoch. The prophet gave us the insight to see that. That this is the move and the spirit that should be coming upon us now. That I don't want to be here anymore.
Right.
And how do you prove that? How do you prove you don't want to be here anymore? Is that when you come to church and you say, oh God, I don't want to be here. And then you go out the rest of the week and you run and do all this stuff and your mind's not on God? See what I'm saying? It's a true spirit, a true move that comes upon the bride of Christ in this hour. And she truly longs to be with Him and be like Him. So much that it's with her all day, every day. And it's so powerful that she says, no, I'm not walking with this. I'm not walking with that. I'm not walking with these other things. I'm going to walk with God. Amen. You know, the scripture said God will give you the desire of your heart. So now what is the desire? What do you want? What do you want? You want a new phone? You want a new fame, fortune? You want to be highly thought of in this world? What do you want? What's really in your heart? Because that's where you're headed. That's what God's going to give you. You know, I'll say that to you, maybe you forgive me, but to you young men, you know, God tells you to look for character in a wife. If you want to look for a beauty queen, if that's what you seek after and you keep pressing for, you'll get one, and you'll get the filthy character that comes with it.
Right.
But if you seek after and you want the things of God, God will see to it that you get it. Because if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Because He will give you the desire of your heart. So Enoch had that desire for the things of God, and God gave to him that desire, and that was just walk right on up out of here. But it's not a wake up some morning and God takes you thing. It's a thing that starts way back here and you walk it out daily. You step it out daily. Daily opposition. Daily opportunities where you got to say, no, no, get back. Leave me alone. I'm walking with God. No, you're not distracting me. Get back. No.
Come on.
Every bit of it.
That's right.
To walk with God. Much opportunity. And while you're doing that, you're building a testimony. Building a testimony that this generation is going to have to look at someday. When I had people that made fun of me. And I've gone and prayed for a woman who's dying in the hospital. And God raised her up. Had innards ripped open and spilling out into her body. And a guy at work laughed and Tony went and healed her. That man said, she'll not make it. She's going to die. The doctor said she's dying today and she'll not make it. That woman came back in and had Thanksgiving dinner with us. But that man, Tony went and prayed for her. Well, that man died a few weeks ago. And if he didn't get rid of that testimony, where does he stand? God's got to have a gospel with teeth in it.
Right.
And you can't make fun of God.
No.
See what I'm saying? You got to come the righteous route.
Yeah.
There's no other way but to come the right way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
And so that's what we certainly want to do.
Amen.
So he got homesick, tired of this pest house. You live long enough down here? He said, yes. All right, just start walking. And Enoch needed a ladder, but God gave him a highway. And that was God's provided way upward. See, he just went up like that. And I'm sure Brother Branham was showing something when he said this. So he said, so, you know, this is just me. But when Brother Branham says this, he said, Enoch needed a ladder, which would have been like this. But God provided him a highway. And he just walked right up like this. Right? He just walked right up like this. This is what I believe he was expressing there. And I believe that it fits it. He said, that's God provided way upward. He said, he just went up like that and he didn't have to strain at all. This is your prophet saying this. He didn't have to strain at all. Right? Just run right up. And the Holy Spirit behind him lifted him right up. And he went right up the highway of holiness right into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I'm almost done. So he made a choice to walk with God. Brother Branham, he swore by himself. He said, listen, I'm gonna say something. He said, faith is unconscious. Amen. You believe it? I've learned that in the years that I've traveled around the world and meeting the peoples of different walks. But faith is unconscious. He said, you've got faith and don't even know it. That's right. Jesus Christ, no matter if he was in a storm and a gale knocking the boat from one side to the other, or he was standing in the face of a mess of demons, if he was hanging anywhere, it never moved him. He walked right along just as calm and quiet as he could be. Why? Brother Ben says, why did Jesus walk just as calm and no matter where devils everywhere, no matter what, he just walked calmly. So why? He was simply unconscious of fear. Anything around him, that's right, whether it was going to happen or whether it wasn't going to happen, he knew it was going to happen because God said so. And he didn't say, oh, I wonder if I have prayed through. Wonder if I fasted enough. I wonder if I did this. Now, Brother Bam's saying Jesus walked calm and he knew, okay? And he said Jesus didn't go when he met up with devils or met up with a storm bashing. He didn't go, oh, I wonder if I prayed enough. I've got a challenge before me. I wonder if I prayed enough, huh? Did I fast enough? This is what Brother Bam's saying, right? I wonder if I did it. He said he just walked right on unconscious. He's talking about unconscious of the things of the world. That's right. He believed that God, what God said was truth, and the words must be fulfilled, and he knew what his life, that his life was to fulfill them. Okay, I'll make sure everybody's with me before I go to this next part. Same quote, same message, but so Jesus walked calmly in the face of all opposition because he knew that word had to come to pass. And he knew that he was the fulfillment of that word, and he had to fulfill it. Okay? There's no sense of fretting about it. I'm the Word made flesh. I've got to fulfill these things. No matter what's coming, it's coming. I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to be confident. Okay? Now, because he knew he had to fulfill it. And Brother Bram goes on to say, he says, and you are here to fulfill it too. You are too.
Right?
Right? So he says, just walk unconscious of fear. Walk unconscious of criticism. Walk unconscious of the world. Walk as you walk in Christ. Walk with him. Not paying attention to the right hand or the left hand. Just keep moving. Follow that? Just walk with God. Don't worry about what they're happening on Capitol Hill. You know, I know as a nation we wonder about those things, but in reality, as a Christian, don't worry about it. Just walk with God. If you don't walk with God, you will worry about it. But walk with God and don't worry about these things. Don't worry about the devils that's trying to do this and the storms trying to do that. Just walk with God is what he's telling us. So he says, if something comes up in the church, walk with God. Hallelujah. If sickness strikes you, walk with God.
Right?
If the neighbor don't like you, walk with God. Just keep walking with God. Enoch one day walked like that. And you know what he done? He walked all the way home with God. Got so far up the road and he didn't want to come back anymore. Didn't want to come back anymore. I told you that's what should be in the heart of the people. Didn't want to come back anymore. Walk with God. The doctors say you're going to die. Walk with God. Right? Doctors say, well, you can't. Walk with God. Just walk with God, that's all. For God has promised you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the world. And he took an oath by that covenant that he gave you, that he'd confirm it. So just walk with God then. That's all you got to do, is walk with him. But remember, he's the Word. He's not three gods. He's not a bunch of this nonsense. He's the Word. The Word that's been vindicated to us in this hour. And now, I said a while ago, it's a choice, and I really want to emphasize on this, a choice, because we have before us all the tools, all the sermons.
Yes.
We can feed on the Word as often.
That's right.
Or we can go do something else.
Right.
I tell you, you should listen to sermons every week. Many of them, every week. Because I want to tell you, I don't mean to be criticized or anything like that, but I listen to several sermons a week. Always have. And if you don't, and you come out on the short end of the stick on Judgment Day,
come on, help us, Lord.
God's going to turn around to somebody who has listened to sermons and said, he says he didn't have time to do it. What did you do? You see, it's not a game. It's not a game. Brother Daniel said, I think I've said this several times in different ones. I always feel like I'm coming across a lot harsher than what I really am. And I don't mean to be harsh, but he's like he said the other day, Brother Tony, don't compromise. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. And that's what I'm trying to do, is tell you the truth. We've got great, everything laying before us here, but there's a choice. What are we going to walk with? What are we going to do with our time? What are we going to do? And you know, if you look and you say, well, God, I'm not 100% there. I mean, I do love you and I do love your word, but I'm not quite to the place where I'm sick of this world. God, help me get sick of this world. Help me get sick of me. See? Get sick of myself. God, help me to realize that I'm a sinner. And when especially those who haven't given their heart to God, help me realize I'm a sinner. I need you, God. I need to get rid of myself, away from myself as much as I can, and cling to the cross of Calvary. And no matter where you are in your walk in this message, that's the same thing. God, let me go higher. Get rid of what self I have left in me and go higher and higher. I've got to have more of you and less of me. That's the thing, see? And that's what he was doing. That's what Enoch was doing. So that's a choice. And it is a choice. I believe with all my heart you're a predestinated people. And you'll be there if you're predestinated. But you've got a choice to make. And then you make that choice, you've got to walk it. And you've got to fight the devils, and you've got to take a stand for this word, and you've got to suffer for alongside him that you can reign with him. Right. You got to do that. Right. Now, how are you suffering? You don't have to answer, but how you suffer? Anybody suffering for Christ? Supposed to be. And if we're not, something's wrong, because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, see, there's a stepping up. We've got to be identified with the cross and with the rejection of the cross. See? He died for us, but we've got to be buried with him in that we might live and reign with him in that. See? So it's a choice. You've got to make a choice. You got all the tools to make you transform you to where you do have the heart in you that says, God, I don't want no more of me. I got to have more of you.
Yeah.
Enough that you can get so far up that you can look back and say, I don't want to go back like Enoch. It's the feeding on the word and staying on that environment, and it's the pushing out of everything that's not the environment of the word. You can do all kinds of things that's not necessarily bad, but they're not the word.
Right.
You can talk about your garden. That's not the word. You've got to get into the Word. Get the environment in your home and around you constantly, in your car and everywhere you go. Let it be the Word. Let it be that environment so that it transforms you and gives you that right spirit, that right desire. And then it's a choice. And yet you're the predestinated people. So, you're probably familiar with this. This is my last quote. Musicians can start getting ready. Just don't get up yet. But you start getting ready. This is my last quote on here. And this is in the message, Standing in the Gap. And remember, Standing in the Gap, Brother Branham had gotten discouraged, and he was wanting to run off and be a guide. And said, well, I'll just come out when God wants me to. And remember all that. He'd lost the feeling for the people so far, like Moses did. So he's talking about this. And Brother Branham was talking about the success of his ministry, how that it had always been God, it had always, and everybody had to testify, right? It was always just exactly, I don't care what they claim, you talk to the people that was there, the testimonies,
right.
What you get. Not that nonsense, hey, they can say anything, the cow jumped over the moon, that'll make it right. But you talk to the people that was there. Remember Brother Sidney Dean? Remember him? He was in a meeting with Brother Branham one time, and he said, Brother Branham, he said, a woman come up, had a big growth on her face, like a cancerous growth. He said, you could see it. And he said, Brother Branham told everybody to bow their head. He said, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful or nothing. He didn't have an evil spirit or nothing. See, he wasn't trying to, oh, I'm going to defy the prophet, you know. He just was just ignorantly didn't realize, you know, what he needed to be doing. So he said, I wasn't really trying to be disrespectful or anything like that, and God didn't take it that way. God let him see it. And he said, when Brother Brand put his hand on that woman, he said, that place on her face began to glow. And he said, when he was done with her, he said, her face was as smooth as baby skin. You talk to the people. Listen, I'll say to these people, believe the sign and all that, you bring me somebody that can do something like that, and then I'll start talking to you. I ain't saying I'll believe you, but I'll start talking to you about the word. You see what I'm saying? They can blab anything, okay?
Right.
All right, so his ministry was such that when it was thus saith the Lord, it was right.
Exactly right.
That's right. When he talked about the Shemp's candy, man, and that Sonny Shemp, almost dead, little old bitty, I forget what he weighed, 60 pounds or something. I don't remember the number like that. But when that word came, thus saith the Lord, you're not going to, but you're going to sell me red hots again. And it happened just exactly. You know all the stories. I hope this is why you need to be in the message, because
that's
you're
right.
Like, brother, I don't know this story. I don't know. Get in the word then. Get in there and listen to it.
That's right. It's
youth. What are you doing? God's, you go down there to Louisiana and they give to you all the sermons on a thing to listen to, then get something to plug that into, talk to your parents, and get that and devote it to God, not something else, and listen to those sermons.
That's right.
See?
Right,
quit playing with it.
I feel.
Okay? Your parents can force you to do it. Yeah, I can force you to do it. But where's your free moral choice? Where's your choice like Enoch had? Because if you're forced to do it, it's not a testimony. If you're forced to do it, there's no faith in it. That's where I'm fixing to go with this quote. You do it because you want to do it for God.
Right.
Amen? So now, stand in the gap. Brother Branham's talking about the success of the ministry. He says, you can't say one thing that ever said or done but what had happened. I challenge anybody to bring any of the thousands of things on the platform and the discernment and the prediction of what would happen. It happened exactly to the letter. Now, if the church believes that, say amen, and the congregation answers, amen. Because they knew. There's not one person, not a person in the world that can show one. But now here's where it comes down. But be it known to the church here and to the church hereafter. That's us. If God pushes a man through a pipe and he don't move at all until God tells him, there's no faith connected with it. It's God pushing him to do something. Now, take what he just said. Because he was saying, I never moved until God showed me my vision. I never did nothing unless he showed it to me. That's what he said. And that's why the ministry's been such that you can't put your finger on it. But God has told him, listen, and he gave an example like this, that if God takes you and he shoves you through a pipe, and God's the one doing all the work, there's no faith in it. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Brother Brown goes on to say, I must go forward, I must move by faith, I must, and that's my point. If you're expecting God to come down and absolutely shove you through the pipe and make you walk like Enoch walked, you're going to miss it. That's for your choice to determine. You got to choose this day who you will serve. You got to choose what you're going to spend your time doing. You're going to have to choose the environment that you have in your home. And if you want to still feed on things other than the message, and you want to still have that first, second, third, fourth horse rider riding in your house and in your life, then that's your choice. But God has given us everything we need to choose correct to drive all that out and walk like Enoch. Amen. So, God bless you. Let's let the musicians come as we bow our hearts to the Lord. Amen. Every head bowed, every heart praying. Amen. If you're like me, you say, Brother Tony, what you've talked about this morning, I need help from the Lord with it too. I want to be like that. That's me. That's what I'm saying. Lord, help me.
Yes.
Start with me as minister of the church. Start with me, Lord. But if Brother Ram said, if you have that decision in your heart, you can lift your hand and it defies gravity and that becomes a testimony for God. Lord, help me. If what I've spoke to you this morning, if you know that falls somewhere in your life and you find yourself saying, Lord, I need this. I need more of you. I need to be able to be conquering and be victorious over things. And I want to walk like Enoch walked. I want to make the right choices. And I want to be able to drive this world out of my life so that I'm stayed and focused upon you that might be kept in perfect peace. If that's the way you feel, you can lift your hand to the Lord. Every head bowed. Got my hand lifted. Amen. But it's by His word that He does these things. By His word that you will take what you've heard and you'll lift that up to God in prayer and you'll begin to pray to Him and say, God, these things that you've sent forth out of your word, I need this. And you begin to minister back to Him that desire, the desire of your heart, put that before Him and watch Him give you that desire. But you can't do that if you're not feeding on the right things. You can't do that if you're not in the right places, doing the right things. So you lift your hand to God, He sees that. We'll pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, Lord, we realize in moments like this where you've spoke to us and you've sent your word, Lord, it's so clearly declares to us what the dedication of our life needs to be. And I pray, God, that each person in the sound of my voice now, that that's what they do right now, is they just drive a stake in the ground. This becomes a milestone for them, and they rededicate themselves to you now. Lord, I know we should rededicate ourselves to you every day. But Lord, definitely this morning, on the basis of what's been ministered and the testimony that Enoch has been as a pattern for us, I pray, God, that we drive a stake in the ground and this become a milestone for us, that today each one of us will come up higher. Lord, that from this day forward, there will be a greater success in our lives to walk with you and say no to these things that hinder us. I pray, God, that you would help us, each one, in that way. Lord, go and visit each one. Deal with them in their hearts. Lord, if it has to, if you have to wake them up at night, let them lay there and think about these things, and let that be. But Lord, whatever it is on that day, let them be able, as Brother Ram said, let them be able to take that different route because their testimony is done. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord.
But what I need is just more of you.
Their God, that if you look at what they declare him to be, it's actually Enoch. It's him. Because you know, back then, Nimrod, and it was people, and they declared themselves a God, or it was believed that God would come down in them. So they had all kinds of things that happened like that. But these people, why would they look and say, oh, this man was a God? Because he could do things that others couldn't do. And they tried to imitate and all that, but in their own religions, they testified to a man that they call him a God, but it was more than likely it was just the teachings and the thing that the testimony that Enoch left. I'm not a scholar on that. I'm not trying to be a scholar. I know the principles of God, right? Principles of God. And if God does something in your life, then you are God's. To whom the word of the Lord come to, and you live in such a way that people, if they don't get it, they'll begin to worship you like Brother Branham, and Satan comes along, tries to do the same thing, and he's got all his people, they get worshipped. Some of them bounce a ball. But but they get worship. Some of them are actually believed to be God, see? So, but that in itself shows you that testimony that Enoch left. And in the ages to come, God's going to testify to this bride.